I am unashamed. What about you?
So, I mean, we're, what are we, 2 weeks from duck season? But me and you fixed to crank it up early. Because
y'all gonna make a road trip?
We're gonna make a old fashioned road trip because the weather.
By the way, Miss K has one that's already paid for.
Has one what?
Airplane. And if you just want to go that an hour, she said, I've already got it all lined up. It's already
been
paid.
Well, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
I thought we were doing a road trip. I guess we're doing an air trip.
I told her about the road trip, and she said, well, I've already got the next trip, plane trip, paid for, and it's available if y'all want it. And I'm like, well,
this is getting better.
This trip is getting better.
So we may.
It's an hour by airplane or 6 hours, 7 hours by vehicle.
About eight hours.
I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm in on that.
Well, there you go.
I love it that our audience just got to witness good some fresh material here.
I didn't know how you were going to take that, but I said I'm prepared to do either.
Nobody turns down a free plane ride. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No. Well, last time we tried it and we got the thing, an hour later we're sitting there and we're in Kansas. Let's go.
I'm loading my gun in an hour. And we actually shot 11 ducks that day, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, usually we don't go north. I mean, hunt early because the ducks are not down. But this year, I mean, this is a cold front. It's going to be 22 here Monday.
For all the global warming theorists, I would just simply say, are we running?
Yeah.
For all the global warming theorists, I would just simply tell them in August, everybody was jumping up and down and squealing because we had record-breaking heat.
Yeah.
And well, let's see, August left, then August, September, October. Within 2 months, we looked up, and now it's going into November. This is the coldest it's ever been in a particular number of states. And I'm like, y'all were jumping up and down, thrills, it looked like. When global warming, the temperatures, this is the hottest it's ever been. What are we going to do?
It's been
2.5 months, and now it's the coldest it's ever been. I haven't seen it get down to 22 degrees and just going into November.
In Louisiana.
I don't ever remember a 22
in November
this early. No.
Before duck season.
No, never. And
so now they're talking about Colorado broke all the record cold, but I noticed they said it. They hated to say it. I'm just saying, average them all up, how much warmer is it than 250 years ago when they first started counting? They said 1 degree change, but it was 1 degree warmer.
No, but see, you're behind down on your terminology because it was global. They don't hear global warming. Now you hear climate change. So what?
Yeah.
So if I was AOC to your, you know, denier, she would say, no, this is exactly what happens. Everything to the extreme.
Everything
it's heat to the extreme and cold.
What
this is all because
what is
of climate
AOC?
Change.
What is that?
That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
She's kind of the leading voice now.
I never heard of her.
Oh, yeah. She's the cute Marxist is what Dad calls her.
She's in the weather, seriously.
Where do y'all see that? She's a weather woman?
Well, she claims she is. But they think in cows passing gas is going to alter the 23.5 degree tilt of planet Earth.
Where do y'all see this stuff at?
Huh?
Oh, it's out there, Josh. You just got to look for it.
Yeah.
Cows passing gas. Do what? I have no idea.
Josh, you need to get off the stock market and start paying attention to what's going on around here.
Josh missed out
Phil,
on
of all the things I've heard.
So there's a group dad called TACPAC. They provide military tactical, and they call it, it's really built for Second Amendment enthusiasts.
Oh, well, we qualify.
Would you consider yourself a Second Amendment enthusiast?
I think I fall under that category.
Yeah.
I think we all do at this table for sure. And I bet a bunch of our watchers and listeners do as well. Mm-hmm. So for $49.95 a month, they're going to ship you basically $100 worth of gear. So you're getting half price off of the stuff they send you. You get AR-15 parts, which, by the way, Beto's out of the race, so I guess our AR-15s are safe, right?
Boy, I hate to see him go.
He was gonna have a buyback on all your AR-15s.
Yeah. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
So
there you go. There's another one, Jason.
That's not even his real name. He just threw that in there for politics.
That's exactly right. You get knives, cleaning kits, you get a mix of other tactical gear. So every time, what's fun is it's like Christmas every month.
And apparel.
A box shows up. And so you're going to get all these different things. So this was our box that showed up this month. Let's see, because we're all members. Here we've got a,
sling.
Sling. Explain that, Jace, what that is.
I don't know. I gotta take a look-see.
Okay. This one, Dad, is a, trying to figure out what we got here.
This is mine here, because I just ripped it open. It's like a gun Jace sling, is already,
oh, gun sling.
Carry your weapon.
Oh, these are little parts here for AR.
Well, if you've ever tried to climb a tree with a weapon, you would understand.
Here's an extended mag release. Oh, good. It's got the little tools and everything you're going to need to put it on. Anti-walk pins that you get right here. So these are the kind of things that you're going to get. Sometimes they got a knife in there in them. Sometimes they got a lot of different kind of gear. You get a sling.
I mean, this is pretty good quality. I'm going to have to admit.
Great quality.
You're not going to break that in your lifetime.
Well, it says war machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, the December pack that's coming up is a special Christmas pack. It's worth $270 worth of gear, which, remember, you're going to get for $49.95. So you got a lot of cool stuff in there. TacPack.com. Use the promo code PHIL, P-H-I-L, and you're going to get a free mystery bag of tactical goodies. And they're going to ship out around the same time as your first Tac Pack. So you're going to get this bonus Christmas. If you go ahead and sign up right now, TacPack.com. Offer code is PHIL. And start getting your boxes today. I love it. Every month's like Christmas for me. And we're going to get double Christmas. Awesome.
Say that again. They think cows passing gas is what?
Destroying the ozone, and that's why the Earth's going to end and the cosmos is over in 11 years. We don't have 11 years.
What are they doing fooling around a cow pen, testing that kind of stuff anyway?
And look, and they're now saying, look, we've got to implement less beef. You know, I mean, they're like wanting to curtail it at the retail end. If you would need a hamburger, then we wouldn't have to worry about all this ozone.
I can't believe these people didn't get shot. Can you imagine?
Fossil fuels, the burning of coal-powered plants, the burning of fossil fuels takes away the ozone, and that's why we're going to burn up in the next 11 years.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Now, the temperature hasn't changed but 1 degree. Peter said they're a little off because they predicted in 11 years. But the Apostle Peter said the day of the Lord will come like a thief. That means we don't know when the end of the cosmos is. But I know this. Here's the story, Ocasio-Cortez, for you. It's a biblical view.
I don't even know who this person is.
The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Here comes Jesus back. He's already came down 2,019 years ago in flesh, died on a cross, been buried and raised from the dead, stayed 40 days, went back into heaven. He's coming back according to this. And when he comes, the heavens will disappear with a roar.
Yeah.
Now, this end of time, and it has nothing to do with the cows passing gas. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it laid bare. This is the end of everything. Now watch.
Of the earth.
Yeah. Since the cosmos, the stars, the planets. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live, Ocasio-Cortez, you ought to live a holy and godly life as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day, here comes Jesus, will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat.
There's
but we're
global,
looking forward to new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Here's the point. You say, we're not going to destroy it, and neither are cows passing gas. God says, no, you're not going to destroy it. I am. God is saying, I am going to rid the cosmos of what you now see and planet Earth. I'm going to give you new heavens and a new earth, and there we'll spend an eternity, and we never have to worry about anything.
But wouldn't that be global warming right then?
This will be extreme global heating. cosmos-wide extreme heating.
Which is why, we believe in it. We just believe it's a divine origin.
Therefore, here's the text. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. It's interesting because when this was written in the first century, when all these books were written, God has not said a word to us via revelation through the prophets. That's all in the past. We're in the last days, because in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom, listen, he made the universe. He made the universe. And watch this. The
Where
Son,
are you at?
I'm in Hebrews chapter 1.
Yeah.
The Son is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. After, here's the gospel, he had provided purification for sins. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which we're famous for, proclaiming that. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The only way he could have sat down at the majesty in heaven, he had to be resurrected. So he's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, which we proclaim to the world. Therefore, he gets down to verse 8, your throne, talking about what he established, O God, will last forever and ever, irregardless of the weather. We're going to be ready for a new heavens and a new earth. Watch. Your throne will last forever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom, which he established. Repent, for the kingdom is near. It's near. Jesus dies, is buried, raised from the dead, goes back into heaven.
We need to talk about that one day. The kingdom's here.
That's right. You've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, your God has set you above the companions. Now, watch this. He says in verse 10, well, what about planet Earth and the cosmos, and are the cows passing gas going to do it in? In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. We don't believe it came from some kind of large explosion without God being there. You say, what exploded? How'd it get here? God says through the Hebrew writer, God says, I made the cosmos and I made the earth. They, listen carefully, will perish, Ocasio-Cortez, the heavens and the earth. They will perish. But you remain. They, heavens and earth, will all wear out like a garment. It's called, if you want to know what our scientists, they didn't discover this till the mid-1800s.
Not in here. Oh, you're the saying.
I'm just saying, what we call it, our scientists, is the second law of thermodynamics. You say, what does that say? We're losing energy. It's all losing. It's winding down.
Sure.
Well, the Hebrew writer knew about the second law of thermodynamics.
2,000 years ago.
The prophets and the Hebrew writer said,
where's
oh, it's
this
leaving.
Quote from? That's a quote
Psalms 102, Jason.
That's what I was looking
So there, for. You were just back another 1,000 years, by the way.
That's right. The so psalmist. 1,000 years before this was written, God had already predicted this through the psalmist. God is going to destroy the planet. The human race is not going to destroy it via burning fossil fuels and cows passing gas. You remain and your years will never end. And he's going to set up, I read with Peter a while ago, the apostle, a new heavens and a new earth. If you made one cosmos with a planet we're on, you could just make another one.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Well, the reason we follow Jesus is that gives us great hope.
Right.
We don't have to worry about fossil fuels and burning and all of that and the heating. No. That's
we think
all.
About though, Dad. So everybody
the
in
ungodly
this,
came up with
everybody
that.
In this discussion. You just said it. That's it. None of these people have most. I'd say none. Probably 95% of these people have no consciousness of God, the Bible, everything you just read and said. They've never even heard of that.
They don't even know what's. the kingdom is here.
No.
Three members of the kingdom are seated right at this table, and if you try to convince people, even in the religious world, they'd say, you're who?
But, Dad, they don't understand why we're not panicking, and we're just like, because we believe what the Bible says.
I'm going back to this. What do they come up on a ranch and say, we want to test these cows? I mean, how do you come up with the conclusion that cows passing gas is somehow dangerous?
You only can come up with that conclusion if God has given you over to a depraved mind.
No, I'm just saying you become
senseless, faithless, no God, senseless, meaning nonsense is coming out of your mouth. Ocasio-Cortez, you say, so how do you end up with cows passing gas? Because it's nonsense. Jace, tilted at 23.5 degrees, and it gives us fall that we're now entering. The temperature is dropping. It doesn't make any difference how much gas the cow's passing. The tilt says it's fixing to be fall, and then it's going to be winter, and then it's going to be spring, and then it's going to be summer. And the temperature is going to vary according to the tilt.
But
tilt is not based on fossil fuels.
Where this came from, since I don't know the
scientific data gathering process they go through.
I mean, every rancher and farmer I know, and I know a lot because I hunt places where cows gather.
Yep.
They would not let somebody come in and test.
They're testing this at the higher. I don't know how the cow farts became a part of the carbon, they call it carbon emission. So, you know, what goes out of that plane that carbon you guys will take emission up to Kansas, that combined with the gas.
It came forth from nonsensical thing. By the way, several more, Jay, so you'll just know, a little text in passing that proves the second law of thermodynamics was alive and well, not only when the psalmist, 1,000 years before Jesus, after Jesus came, watch, this world, this is 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31. This world, in its present form, is passing away. All of our scientists agree with that assessment. They know that cold and heat bouncing off each other, it's losing energy. They know that this thing is finite. It's not going to last forever. It's winding down. The sun is losing energy. Some of its energy every year. They're monitoring all this. Yeah. You say they call it the second law of thermodynamics, but God was writing about.
But they're saying we're contributing to that. Like, in other words, because we're so selfish and drive cars and eat hamburgers and flying planes.
It's already winding down, and we know the universe will not be here. All the greatest scientists and the greatest minds we have, they know that the second law of thermodynamics proves the earth and all of the cosmos is winding down energy-wise. We're losing energy.
Think about that.
It wasn't made to last forever.
So, Dad, are you sick and tired of overpriced greeting cards that really don't say what you want them to say?
Greeting cards?
Yeah. I mean, is this a problem in your life that the greeting cards you buy for us and Mom?
Have you ever bought a greeting card?
I've never bought a
greeting card. You need to do that before you
die. I've never been in a structure that sells greeting cards.
At one time, there were a lot of greeting cards with your picture on them.
You've never been in a structure.
Would it was something like, have you seen this man? Was it one of them kind of deals?
What a statement.
Greeting card. I should send more cards to people, but I just never have got around to doing it.
Let's start with one.
So what's the point of?
Well, here,
let me explain. Here's what people do in our society. If you care for somebody, you get them a card and you send them a little note and say, "Hey, pal, like what you do."
Everybody I've ever seen that did that are women.
No, men. Well,
I buy cards.
I do too.
I see women receiving and giving little cards.
Well, trust me, I'm not a woman.
Men do it too.
So, that's what I'm saying. I buy cards all the time, especially if they're funny.
So here's the deal. So Jason and I, we buy greeting cards. We have been into structures that sell greeting cards.
Look, let me tell you this. You could get Kay, get her a card, a greeting card, with some kind of sexual undertone. And look, you're talking about romance. Not just obvious. I'm not talking about. I'm just saying it'll spruce up your life, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it'd take a card to pull that off.
So we got some friends that is a company called Patriot Penguin. And so they're the first and only greeting card company for conservatives that are humorous, which is pretty good.
Well, here we go.
Let's face it, most of what you see and I see, most of it's kind of stupid and lame, and you know, you're just looking past it. And you find a few humorous things. Most of them are left leaning. Does that surprise you? I mean, you know, they make fun of Trump, whatever. Yeah. So now we got the Patriot Penguin. So whether it's birthdays or holidays, they call it a huge selection of cards that are going to trigger all the snowflakes out here. So I love this. I love the idea.
So do they have some husband, wife?
Everything, right.
Tones of...
I don't know. I'll have to ask them about their, romantic qualities.
Tell them to... They could hire me to be a writer.
There you go. Here's a writer right here for Patriot Penguin. So look, if you go to makegreetingcardsgreatagain.com. That's a long title. makegreetingcardsgreatagain.com. If you go there right now, you save 15%. And here's what's interesting. Use the offer code of Phil, who has told us never bought a greeting card in his life.
That is very interesting.
We got to convert you on this. You need to do that. It's a bucket list moment.
It is.
I wrote down for your mother at her request, because the question was, she's standing up on my bed, do you love me? And I'm like, yeah.
So that was her greeting card.
You know why she's asking you that? Because you've never given her a greeting card.
Well, anyway, the next morning I got up and there was a piece of paper in my chair. I got it and with a pen there. And I said, good, that woman wants me to write this down. It was just a piece of paper and a pen. I'm drinking a cup of coffee.
Well, that's a start.
So I sat down. I love you, Miss Kay. You know, I always have. But anyway, she posted that on the bed. But I tend to just write something down on a piece of paper.
Right.
If I need it.
So then what happened?
So here's what
we're going
to do.
Never thought about the card.
Then what happened? You got lucky, didn't you?
Hey.
So we're going to get with Dad. We're going to go to makegreetingcardsgreatagain.com. We're going to put in Phil, and we're going to get 15% off. You can do the same thing. makegreetingcardsgreatagain.com. Offer Phil, save 15%. Got to do it before December 15th, so this covers Christmas, everything else.
I'm going to do this.
Great greeting cards. And we're going to take Phil online, and he's going to get his first greeting card.
Patriot Penguin.
Patriot Penguin.
Where's it at?
I just read you 1 Corinthians 7, the last part of verse 31. He just makes a point. People get all involved in worldly matters. He said, listen, this world in its present form is passing away. Well, if you read carefully what Peter said, he's going to do away with the current heavens and earth. They're already on their demise, their way out. By the way, that's why they know it hasn't been here forever, or it would have already been gone.
Right.
It's like the sun, it's burning. So that demands a question.
Literally burning up.
Well, it's burning up, but if something's burning, that means it had to start burning. Just sit there and think about that a while.
You are correct.
You can't say it's always been burning. Something lit the fire.
Yeah.
But think about it, from these people's perspective, if the only hope you had was in the longevity of the planet and the resources here, and you're thinking, oh, no, what are we going to do? And these people are, I'm serious.
That's why there's so many doomsday movies.
Oh, they're saying in a dozen years. Dad's right. I mean, this is being repeated consistently now. In a dozen years or less, the whole thing, we're going to all die because of the climate. But here's the difference. We're saying, well, okay, if that happens, then that's what the Almighty had planned. Okay. Maybe that. But what I'm saying is,
they wouldn't like that.
No, because they're like, no, we can do something
Here's
to stop
the point.
This. We can just go.
What
back
are we gonna do?
We quit flying. We get rid of all vehicles. All fossil fuels. We quit using those.
We walk.
No oil. No gas.
Everybody be in shape.
Do all of that. But remember this. You say, well, you read Peter the Apostle, what he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, the earth and everything in it, the cosmos is leaving here. Then he was quoting the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 1, it's going to leave here. It's going to wear out. It's wearing out right before our very eyes, and all our scientists that believe that. Well, I read 1 Corinthians, the earth in its present form is passing away. But I wasn't done with that. If you want to hear some more, here's Isaiah the prophet. How would he have known about the second law of thermodynamics? Because he said, Isaiah 34:4, all the stars of the heavens will be dissolved. Well, when you dissolve all the stars in heaven, you say, whoa, watch. The sky rolled up like a scroll. The Hebrew writer said it's rolled up like a garment, a discarded garment. The prophet Isaiah said the sky will roll up like a scroll. And the starry host, all of that, those bright lights you see, the planets, the stars, the galaxies, all the starry hosts will fall like withered leaves from the vine, like shriveled figs from the fig tree.
It's like in my speeches, I say,
you might ought to do it.
I got to go figure out who that is.
You're going to have to Google now.
I don't
trust
see
me,
how
there's
y'all,
plenty out there about her.
Yeah.
I don't see how you don't know about her.
Because where did you hear about it?
I watch the news. I don't watch the news. I follow social
too
media.
Depressing.
Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 51. You want some more? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. So everybody tonight, look way up and look way out. You say, what do you see? Look at the earth beneath. Here we are. Look at both of them. The heavens will vanish like smoke. We're seeing them vanish right now in a slow process, second law of thermodynamics. How in the world did Isaiah the prophet know this? The earth will wear out like a garment. That was said 750 years before Jesus came, and the book of Hebrews written in the first century. Watch. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants, y'all ready? All you folks who don't believe that God's going to do this, its inhabitants will die like flies, but my salvation will last forever. Better make sure, Al, you're on the right side of this thing when it comes to looking at the cosmos and wondering why it's leaving.
So it's like when you see a falling star. I mean, you probably think the same thing I do. What are you thinking when you see a falling star?
Make a wish?
No, I'm thinking I'm glad I wasn't on that planet.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
I didn't know where you're going with that.
Hey. Well, I just figured it burns everybody out. Thought the same thing. I thought
you're exactly right. You know,
somebody was a million miles away from us, and we dissolve or roll
billions
up,
of miles.
I'm just saying. And you see the Earth going, you'd think, well, I'm glad I wasn't on that planet.
You look up and see a falling star, Jace, you say, there's a pretty good message from heaven.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was
saying. There goes that one.
Some serious cow
flashing. But it's nothing for God.
It's all going to do that.
To create. He can create this stuff. But everybody's like, well, that's just sad and
depressing. By the way, Jace, the first law of thermodynamics, I gave you the second one. Y'all are looking at me saying, how in the world did he come up with it? I don't know.
For a C-plus man, you're impressing me with your science.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know what the first law of thermodynamics says?
Tell us.
Matter cannot be created or destroyed. So they start.
Unless you're God.
Unless you're God. But they don't add that.
Oh, well, I
You added that for emphasis. What I'm saying is you read the first law and you say, well, why in the world we got all this matter? It came from somewhere.
Well,
and we know this. It is losing its energy. And they come up with the second law of thermodynamics. It's losing its heat, its energy.
So today on the Unashamed podcast, you've got the climate believers in climate change,
Yep.
believers.
Yep.
And then they say, if you don't believe what they're saying, you're a climate denier.
That's so, the no God crowd.
That's it, right. So what we say is we've added in a third option. We are creator controllers. We believe there's a creator
that's
controlling
right.
the whole situation.
That's right.
Which is why we don't get too bent out of shape. Jace didn't even know about, you know, AOC. So he ain't worried about
I'm
it.
I'm just wondering how somebody I've never heard of, you already have a nickname for, which I don't even know what that means. What is AOC? You never answered the question.
It's the letters for her name.
Oh.
Alexandria Ocasio. Because it's hard to say.
She's a little far left chick. She's cute as a speckled pup in a red wagon coming down a long hill. But the bottom line is she doesn't have any sense. She's senseless, and her faith is not in
Jesus.
So
she's a Marxist. What'd you say the difference between her and Bernie Sanders is?
One of them's cute, and one of them looks like an old, craggy old guy that... You know, both of them, you know.
I know Bernie Sanders.
She's a lot better looking than Bernie, but both of them are on the wrong track.
So anyway.
No, look, God.
It's the perfect segue. We didn't know we were going to talk about this today, but thank you, Dad, for bringing it up. where we are in our sort of storyline in the Old Testament is we're at the period of the judges. And I think it's a perfect discussion to lead into it because you think about it, God is the ultimate judge, right?
Is that where we got the idea to have judges?
James,
when was Judges written?
Oh, you're talking about, well, back in the historical era, you're talking about right after Moses. So this is a penchant
for mankind. They always want
1,200
years over
before
under
Christ.
1,000.
Over 1,000 before Christ.
They always have looked to human beings to lead them out and lead us to the promised land.
This is about
us what the judge's role.
So here's the deal.
Because, I mean, if you read the book of Judges, which I did last night, I mean, it's rated R.
Oh man, is it ever?
It's just rated R. They made a movie about judges. You'd have to
because you're talking about you're talking about violence,
yeah,
and sexual conquest. It's
hey Al, look at modern day and tell me how much has changed.
Not much. So here's
they're passing laws that supersedes the Supreme Court, supersedes the supreme being, and says, you know what? I know for 7,000 years y'all thought that a marriage between a man and a woman. But that's not true. Anybody can marry anybody, same-sex marriage, all that. That's all. That's no problem. They just take the law and they butcher it, and it supersedes what God says, and therein is the problem. Well, yeah. The way back to Samuel and the Judges.
That's why it comes back to human anatomy.
And look, there's a story involved in the Judges, which I didn't think about until you just brought it up, but there's where a guy comes in, he's got his concubine, which is a whole other thing, but it was basically a wife.
Yep.
And so this guy takes her into his home, and then they basically, and this is crude, but this is exactly what Jason's talking about. This is in the Bible. They gang rape her and murder her. You know, and so God brings
it's
down.
It's still
judgment.
Happening.
It happens, and so God brings down judgment.
He wasn't pleased. I mean, the whole bottom line, the whole reason we were talking about this climate change and all this, is then once this climate does change, which is a big fire, and everything melts.
Yep.
Then we all stand before God.
Right.
Whether you believe or not.
At least that's
where you'll be.
At least we're on the right side of this thing, biblically speaking. Right. That we have hope, and without. Right. Your fear of God and the knowledge of God, you have no hope.
And then you have judgment, which we believe as Christians, you know, I mean, Jesus judges us on the cross, and he deemed us not guilty.
Correct.
Even though we were guilty.
Right.
That's why he came.
Grace is a wonderful thing.
But for those who are surprised when he comes back, well, that's going to be a bad time to be surprised, because then you're basically guilty.
We look forward to these days, but they look at it with fear and trembling.
Oh, that's right.
Well, think about it. If you're the guy in the story I just mentioned, and then judgment was brought down on him, his house, his entire tribe. Remember where we are in the historical story? Remember we had Joshua? They go in. They conquer the land of Canaan. They basically set it up in a structure where there's 12 tribes. So this is what I would call a tribal. You know, we still got tribes.
I thought
tribal.
It was 13.
Well, it is 13 because Joseph, remember, he blessed his two sons. So he split his into two. So it's actually 13, although it's called the 12 tribes. But that's
is
the reason.
Is that where they got that 13's unlucky?
Probably so. I hadn't thought about that. You always hear him say 12, but you're right. It was 13 because Joseph's two sons. Yeah,
probably true.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I mean, we got judges from the Bible. We got, you know, everything else I can think of. Every movie that you see that has anything to do with good or evil, it came out of the Bible.
Oh, always.
You know, what strikes me in the Bible when you read Genesis chapter 1, he separated the waters from the water. You got atmosphere up here. There's water, a lot of water up there, and then you have the oceans down below. Well, that space in between is called sky. You say, what y'all call it? We still call it sky. And the land is called dry ground up here. Let dry ground appear. He said, what do you call that? He said, we're going to call that I am. God said, I'm going to call it land. Well, that's been whenever it happened to now. You say, what do we call it? We say land. I'm like, y'all borrowed the terminology of what these things are from God.
Right.
How come you're saying there's not a God?
Right.
You're calling things what he called them. If it's not the sky, what are we going to call it, Al? That space in between us and outer space. If it's not sky, what is it?
I'd have to come up with a new name. I'm sure some of the climate changers can come up. So in the storyline, here's what happens. You basically have this period. I call it the Wild Wild West of Israel's history, because you've had these kind of Moses to Joshua. We had a clear leadership, and now all of a sudden, who's going to lead? And so so these people would raise up and they would be a judge is what they would call them. And they were judicial, obviously. They were military. Most of them were military leaders. Some of them were spiritual and some of them weren't.
Not much has changed.
Not much has changed. And so you see that same kind of deal today, which is what I find interesting.
Sure.
You know, when you look at it and you look at certain parts of the world, you know, we're kind of used to having, at least until now, this current era is kind of crazy, but where you had some stability in your government. You got places in the world, you go to Afghanistan and it's all tribal guys and that group over there has got the Taliban.
Will survive.
The strongest will survive. And usually it's a bad situation.
The biggest stick.
That's exactly right.
Stick.
That's who rules. And so that was the period,
by the way,
that we're talking about.
Not much order. In fact, not much law or order.
Or integrity.
Know, law and order, you say it's a lawless
honor,
land.
Integrity, respect,
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Right. You say, nope, doesn't exist.
It's like the mistreatment of women and, you know, it's just ridiculous.
So when you think about that, here was the nature of this period. You tell me if this sounds familiar. You had peace. You had a time of peace. Things were good. Everybody's taking care of each other. Nobody's warring and fighting. Then you would have the abandoning of the principles, remember, that God had instituted. So all of a sudden you got people doing their own thing.
It's beginning to sound familiar.
Then you would have oppression. Some neighboring tribe or neighboring nation would come in and control them. Then you would have repentance. The people would cry out to God. And then guess what? You'd have deliverance. You'd go on to the next judge. This was over and over and over
again. I'm 73 years old, Al. You say, Dad, you're older than we are. You're 73. How many times have you seen warring neighbors and they come together since you've been here? Al, I don't remember a 4 or 5 year period, not over that long, when there wasn't a war with some of our neighbors somewhere on this earth. You're like, it's just one. They have a word for it now. The news media, Jace, this is good information for you. If you can get off that the computer, the stock market. They said, what's the word? They call them endless wars. Well, we've been in endless wars ever since I've been on the earth, and that's about 73 years. You're like, it's one after the other after the other after the
it's
other.
It's endless wars in your own neighborhood.
And Al, you're talking about the time. How many years before Jesus was this?
It's about 1,100 years.
1,100 years before Jesus. You say, well, what has changed on planet Earth regarding wars and death and misery and immorality and idolatry? You're like, good.
So, look, I want to kind of focus this down a little bit more because, Dad, you raised us the right way. I mean, you did. I mean, you weren't a Christian for the early part of my life and a little bit of Jace's, but you basically instilled in us the principle of do the right thing. Don't steal. I mean, there were a lot of principles. So the blessing of that for me and Jason, I may be wrong, just correct me if I'm wrong. We've never stood before a earthly judge.
Well, I have a couple times.
Oh, well, share. Because this is news.
Well, one of them was, you know, when so
we're not talking about the stuff on the show, right?
Yeah, Duck Dynasty.
Oh, good
when
night.
We got up there. But I figured out that you know, the TV show had kind of set that up. But that judge, who was a real judge, he didn't find anything amusing about that show.
He was serious, wasn't he?
He got into full, you know, he's looking size. Hey, you know, give me a ticket, whatever. Because we had, you know, you couldn't park near a bridge and go fishing. But I could tell he was looking like, I'm not amused. You know, because if somebody's not amused by Si, that's pretty impressive because he's amusing.
Yeah.
But it made me realize this guy's heard so much. Can you imagine what the crap this guy has heard every day for 8 hours? And he's like,
lies
I'm not.
Lies.
Did you break the law?
Yeah.
Guilty. There was no way to be impressed, you know?
Yeah. Forgiveness was not even an option.
No.
So we know that we've talked about this before on our podcast that kids, what they're facing on the internet, which is another reason, Dad, why you've chosen just never get on it. Unfortunately, for the rest of the world, it's a reality that we deal with. And so a big problem is, you know, kids are faced with Snapchat and Instagram and all these things out there that introduce a lot of negativity and a lot of really tough things. Jace has talked about it openly.
Yeah, I'm going to get this. This is Circle, right?
This is called Circle Home Plus. And the Circle app that you get, and it's interesting because it's an app that you get that helps you control all the other apps.
Tell me how to do it, because I'm doing this.
Basically, you control the content, and you track everything, all your devices, laptops, gamers, smart TVs, everything. So what you do is you get $30 off Circle Home Plus when you visit meetcircle.com/unashamed. That's how you're going to get it. You enter unashamed at your checkout, you get $30 off, and you're going to be able to get the app that's going to help you control the content. So this is important, Jace, for you and I.
So once I get in there, they'll tell me where to go.
They'll tell you what to do. Meetcircle.com/unashamed, save $30, and start controlling the content of what your kids are seeing. It's important.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
I see nothing wrong with finding out the content of what your children are seeing or watching.
Yeah, I've told all my kids.
That is a good idea if you're going to fool with cell phones.
There is no privacy. You know, you hear these people, they're like, well, you know, the kids need their privacy. No. When I was in private as a kid, I was doing something I shouldn't be doing.
That's right.
So
public is better.
I tell my kids all the time, we live in the light. That's whether you make mistakes or not, I want to look at it. And then when you make a mistake, you say, I'm sorry, my bad. Let's move on. Okay.
meetcircle.com/unashamed. Enter unashamed. You get $30 off. Do it now.
It wasn't.
So I thought about that, how earthly judges in our system, just what you said, what they have to listen to, that they're trying to mete out, you know, by the law. But at the same time, do you ever have, you know, do you show mercy to some, not to others? I mean,
I've been in many a courtroom where it was somebody we had brought to the Lord or somebody we were praying for, you know, and they asked me to come up there. And I know you've done some of that too. And
a lot.
So you sit there and you listen, and it's the same thing. You walk away thinking the same thing. They don't care.
Right.
I mean, they're just trying to look at the law, look at what was done, and for the most part, make a right decision, but they're emotionless. And as far as that.
Well, I'll just say, James, when he's talking about how we should view our neighbors, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. And he makes a pertinent point for any time frame, from Samuel all the way to here. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. Therefore, he said, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So we present them, point them to Jesus. You say, but as far as their status before God, it's up to them to make the call, and we're not to judge them. We just say, here's what I believe, and here's why. And you point them to Jesus. He loves you. God loves you. He's died on a cross for you. He'll remove your sin and raise you from the dead. Take it or leave it. I hope you take it.
Right.
And we just do that and we move on. So that's
about it. But the bottom line is you have to have some system like this in place to have law and order, which is God introduced it through his chosen people. But then when you fast forward even to 1 Corinthians 6, you know, they were having these lawsuits among the believers.
And oh, yeah.
Paul just like
shoot them out.
Chastised them. Yeah. It's like where it's like now, if someone was a believer in Jesus, you know, I wouldn't be able to sue him based on what I read.
I couldn't do it.
In 1 Corinthians 6.
I wouldn't do it.
I see people do it, and I'm like, you know what? Okay, but I'm not doing it.
I'd take the loss and move on.
Yeah. Right. Just because now I realize why you have the system. It's like what we're saying when you're in front of that judge and those courtrooms, and even that you would think it would thwart all crime, and but you see our country and you're like, can you imagine it without it?
Ooh. Oh man.
Then you're back into the Afghanistans of the world.
And my experiences from being in courtrooms and testifying, usually it was in some sort of situation where it was a custody case or whatever, because I tried to avoid it, but sometimes you get pulled in because it's somebody, a member of our church back when I was a preacher. And so, but I know that the one common theme I noticed is these were family matters, everyone I was involved in.
Yep.
And the judge who had the ultimate say, the vibe I got from them and the speeches I heard from them was, can't you do this on your, why are you taking up my time?
Yep.
To deal with your family issues.
That's right.
You should do this on, I mean, she or he, because both judges would usually chastise the families, like, you should deal this on your own.
Yeah,
like,
just think
you shouldn't be before me deciding who gets custody over this.
Well, like,
this.
Most of it's probably divorces.
And most of it,
you know,
was,
they
right?
Get bitter,
I was going to mention that. Just think
ugly.
About the divorce courts.
Oh.
All the trauma. Well, instead of when people make poor choices and you right. finally end up in front of a judge,
yeah.
you're like, boy, you carried this way too far. Should have sat down and worked this out between you.
Well, and let's face it, part of the problem of this is that you, if you step down one back,
a lot of this.
That's been say the lawyers make money, and the court system makes money.
But I always said they have to put the law before the person, because that's what they're there to do, enforce the law. You know, as Christians, we kind of do the opposite. We put the person in front of the law.
Sin yeah. is very
right, exactly.
our
yeah.
sin is very costly.
Oh man!
All the way up to the wars we fight, and the wars with the families, and the wars with the neighborhood.
Legal system.
Sin is extremely
expensive.
Expensive.
So, Dad, tell this. I want you to tell this story. I want the audience to hear this, because one of the things that has really stuck with me through the years. We had a brother, his family, great family, that we loved our church, grew up with us. And one of their sons, their youngest son and Willie, were best friends.
And they were African-American family.
The African-American family. And so
couldn't be important.
So he went off to college and he's a basketball player, great athlete, went down south, Louisiana, got in with some of the wrong crowd once he got to college, but a wonderful kid with a great heart. We all agree with that. And his family.
Yeah, but he made the decisions that led
he did.
To this.
Poor
that,
choices.
Yes.
Got into
no
the
doubt about
drug
it.
Culture. And somebody convinced him down there, if you're going to, you know, be able
to. I don't think he was doing drugs. He just decided to make money.
Well, he was hanging out with that crowd.
Right,
and so they
right.
convinced him, look, you can make some easy money.
They got him for transporting drugs across the state line.
That's right. You go down
to
Mexico.
It was like 18-wheeler load.
Right. Yeah. You go down to Mexico. You pick up the drugs. You come back. We give you cash. And so he became convinced this was a good idea. He gets pulled over. He gets arrested in a small Texas town. And then, obviously, because of the level that now he's a major drug trafficker, even though he's never been convicted of anything, as far as I know, his whole life.
Well, yeah, it's like that movie, The Mule, that
right.
Clint Eastwood. He's basically doing that.
He's doing that. And so he's down there. He goes through his trial. And then there's a segment where people can speak to his defense and his family, because now we're at the sentencing phase. He's convicted. And so you and Mom and Willie went down and joined some of his family from here to speak on his defense. The boy and the young man you knew, not necessarily the one that got into trouble. So tell about that, what that was like. Because, I find it really fascinating that you were attempting mercy, and yet being a law guy, what happened? I mean, how did that
I basically understood that he was guilty as charged, and I said, I'm not here. Because the prosecuting attorney said, Mr. Robertson, are you interested in justice?
Because he was mad that you were testifying. A famous
right.
person was testifying on
I
this.
I said, I am all account. For justice. He said, that's what you're seeing take place here. So why would you come and speak on behalf of the one we're going to mete out justice to? I said, oh, I'm not asking for justice here. I'm asking for mercy here. I know what justice is going to do for him.
Right.
I understand. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
I said, I'm just asking for mercy in his case, since this is his first offense. And the guy said, well, whoever you think this whoever you think this guy is, he started running with the wrong crowd, and he's not the same guy that was raised with your son up there in North
Louisiana.
Which
is true.
Which
all
is true.
All this is true.
And by the way, he was 20.
The judge was just sitting there, stone-faced, and you say, how much mercy did the judge give him a zero.
Yeah, he did.
My speech did him no good.
He's 20 years old, and he was facing a 25-year federal sentence for drug trafficking, and he got the full 25 years.
That's right.
But he served 12 and a half.
He served half of it.
Well, he was waiting on him when he got out 12 and a half years later.
Hey, I tell you what, he's been a pretty model citizen since. Yep. And when did he get out?
He's been out more than that. It's been about 10 or 12 years ago.
He worked for Documenter for a while. Willie gave him a job. Or does he still?
No, he didn't work for us anymore, but he did. Yeah. And that's what I love about it. You know, and we love him, and he's still a dear friend of ours. But I just... That story, the idea that you seek mercy, but the judge has the ultimate decision. And look, when you walked out of there, it wasn't like you were like, no, this something is wrong here. This, you weren't like railing against the system.
I asked for mercy. They gave him justice.
What's interesting? When he worked at Documenter, he told me, you know who one of his cellmates was while he was in prison? Our former governor, Edwin Edwards. He was in the same cell with him.
In Dallas at a federal prison, that's right.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
He said, yeah, I used one of his duck calls. He told Paul that.
O-E-W-E.
Yeah.
He was a boy.
I signed the governor a duck call one time. You know, he's a big duck hunter, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what it told me is that, you know, prison, it has no respecter of persons.
No.
You can have been the governor, or you could just been some guy transporting drugs. You wind up in the same place and you're treated the same. Get in line, shut your mouth.
But I do think it makes a good parallel to the idea of what we talk about, that it only takes one sin to condemn us. When we have an awareness, we get to that point. It only takes one. You think, look at a guy like, you know, we're talking about, like Paul, and he just did this one time. He happened to get caught the first time out, you know. And so we're thinking, well, surely you'll see this not really him, his character. But he did it.
I never said, well, this is unfair. It's the first time. I went with justice all the way. I said, I'd like to see some mercy here. But if you choose to give him pure justice, so be it.
So my point is, for every person that has ever sinned one time, what you earn is full justice of the law.
That is correct.
Which the Bible says is death.
Eternal spiritual separation.
This all happened so Jesus would come.
That's right.
A lot of them say, well, it seems like such a small sin. All I'm doing is you break the law and you pay
with your life.
The problem
I see fast forward now is you got too many churches acting as the judges. Like an Old Testament judge enforcing the law.
Too much of that. You're correct.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
You're correct.
And, now, I get it in 1 Corinthians. You know, we keep going back to 1 Corinthians because they had a lot of problems. But he waded in there. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 5 has something interesting where we're not supposed to judge other people. You know, Jesus said it. Matthew said, don't judge, or you too, you know, will be judged. Because ultimately, he's a judge.
Right.
I think, where's that, James 4, yeah, whatever yeah. says God is standing are, at the
some
judge
people
is standing
have,
at
have
the door.
Questioned me, and they say, but how could you be for a fella, Donald Trump, to be the president of the United States, and you support him knowing he's such a sinful man? I said, I've been a sinful man in my life, and so have you. Yeah. I said, we all have sins.
Well, God uses us despite our flaws.
What we do is we show anyone mercy because we've been shown mercy. We forgive people quick to forgive because God forgave us.
So listen,
and we don't know the heart.
That's right.
So here's what James said. We've been talking about James 4. James 2, James said, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And the only reason that happens is because of Christ. I mean, that's the whole deal.
Yeah. That's right.
I would like to say this in 1 Corinthians 5, I think, which is a lot misunderstood. He did bring up a situation where if a person is claiming to be in Christ, claiming to be a Christian, and they're obviously doing something that is just openly and publicly immoral, he's like, hey, judge him and kick him out.
Does not judgment begin in the family of God, right?
It says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? This is 1 Corinthians 5:12. Well, the answer is, it's none of your business to judge them out. Are you not to judge those inside? Well, the answer there would be yes.
Yep.
What he's inferring.
Right.
God will judge those outside, expel the wicked man from among you. And you can read the whole story. I mean, he's like, he said, you know, I've written to you not to associate with people that are immoral or drunkards or whatever. He's like, but I'm not talking about, you know, people in the world, because you'd have to leave the world. He's like, but the ones that are claiming to be, you know, in Christ, in your fellowship, there's doing, and we all know from studying this, it's something openly and publicly maligning who Jesus is, and they're not caring that they're making Jesus look bad. So with anything, there are exceptions. I mean, if you want to call that an exception, I don't know how you would describe that. Generally, yes, we're not supposed to judge people. You're not supposed to look at, you know, the speck in your brother's eye when you got a plank in yours. But there is something to say about a person who's claiming to be in Jesus, who's claiming to follow the moral compass of God, who's living the exact opposite in a public, open way.
That's a lifestyle.
Yeah, you go to them and say, hey, what are you doing?
He didn't make a mistake one day and you weed him out. He lived like this.
Well, right. You're just like, be honest. If, you know, that's why I respect a lot of people out in the world more than I do people, some people that go to church, because at least they're honest and you know where they stand.
Yep.
You know, someone claiming to be, you know, a follower of Jesus and they're living the exact opposite and are, don't care.
There are plenty of texts that say with certain individuals, based on their behavior, have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
Plenty of verses that say that.
That's exactly right. So anyway, good discussion. Out of the period of Judges, I think we show kind of in that larger narrative that we still live that life every single day. So, I mean, I guess our challenge to our audience is that you want to live in such a way, I don't fear judgment.
No.
Because Jesus says, I am the judge and I'm a follower of him. So I don't really fear that. I don't fear that in my everyday life because I try to do the right thing.
I'm looking forward to the end of time as we know it.
Exactly.
Well, and we have to have this system on earth. That's why it's so important for me, you know, having a conservative president when he elects judges, because you need these people shaping.
That's one of Donald Trump's strong points. He's put a lot of federal judges in. I am thankful for it.
Right. Oh, which, by the way, in judges, you know, one of the most famous judges was a woman. Deborah.
That's right, Deborah.
Yep.
And so it just shows you that.
Her husband was the military guy and she was a spirit. They did it as a husband and wife team, which is really interesting.
You know, people,
Judges 4, check that out.
Yeah, that's malign women, you know, from their perception of what their role is. I mean, hey, they're women leaders. God was for her. He didn't apologize for it. I think it basically says she was the judge over all of Israel.
Well, and we talked about this in a former podcast, but that woman judge was ruling over that courtroom where that brother of the murdered person offered mercy and forgiveness to his brother's killer. Mm-hmm. That judge was sitting there and she let it all unfold, which a lot of judges wouldn't have done that. You're talking about, I think she was so compassionate in the moment, she allowed that to happen and then gave the woman a Bible, her Bible, to take with her to jail. Here, you need to read up on this and you'll understand about forgiveness. Yeah. So anyway, pretty powerful stuff. Next time we're gonna shift into the new era of what's coming for Israel, and that's the king. And we've got some good stuff to talk about that as well. We'll talk about the kingdom for a while. So next time on Unashamed. We are so glad you're watching and listening to the Unashamed podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. That's going to keep you up to date with all the new episodes. And it's also going to let other people find out about our podcast. So keep spreading the word and watching and listening to Unashamed with Phil Robertson.